Call the meeting to order. The meeting of the Unalaska Board of Equalization is called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, May 27th, 2025. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson? Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. Councilman Nicholson is excused. I have a motion to approve the minutes of May 13th, 2025, Board of the Equalization hearing.
I move to approve minutes, May 13th, 2025, Board of Equalization hearing.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Luby. Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. No objections, they are approved. May I have a motion and a second to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law for tax appeal number 25006. May I have a motion and a second?
I move to adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of laws for tax appeal number 25-006.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the city clerk to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and the board. The findings of facts and conclusions of law were drafted by our city attorney, Charles Casciola, and it's available in the packet for your perusal.
Have any council discussion on this? Findings of fact and conclusion? City Clerk, may I have a roll call vote, please, on the motion to adopt the findings of fact and conclusion of law for tax appeal number 25006.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yeses and 0 nays. With this vote, the Board of Equalization has adopted the proposed findings and conclusions with regard to this property tax appeal. This is a final administrative action of the City of Unalaska on Appeal 25006. This action may be appealed to the Superior Court in accordance with Alaska Statutes 23-45-21-10-D. Any such appeal must be filed within 30 days from the date these findings of fact and conclusion of law are mailed or otherwise distributed to the appellant. There being no further matters before the Board of Equalization, this meeting is adjourned at 6:05 p.m. Call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. Call to order 6:05 p.m. on Tuesday, May 27, 2025. Let Councilman Luby please read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson? Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. Councilman Nicholson has been excused. And we do have a quorum. This time, please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Welcome to all those in the Onalaska Chambers, City Council Chambers, and those that are online and Zoom. This time, my next item is the Mayor's Proclamation declaring June 2025 as a Workplace Safety Awareness Month. Whereas the National Safety Council designates each June as National Safety Month to promote, encourage health and safety in the workplace and communities. And whereas the City of Onalaska is a city of industry comprised of diverse businesses and workplaces, whereas many accidents in the workplace are preventable, and implementing health and safety programs is vital to the employee safety and can improve business operation performance, which contributes to local economy. Whereas the workplace safety requires the cooperation of employees, businesses, and all levels of government, as well as the community. And whereas promoting work safe safety and health practices in Onalaska businesses are endeavors worthy of support from the City of Onalaska. Now, therefore, I, Vincent M. Tudikoff, Senior Mayor, City of Onalaska, hereby announce and proclaim all businesses and citizens that on June 1st through the 30th of 2025 is Workplace Safety Awareness Month, and all businesses and citizens are encouraged to promote and encourage safe and healthy work environment. So proclaimed on May 27, 2025. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, second by Councilman Longo. Hearing no objections, the agenda is adopted. No objections, it is adopted. I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of the special meeting held May 12, 2025, and regular meeting held May 13, 2025, as presented.
We just moved them. I move to approve the special meeting minutes of May 12, 2025, and the regular meeting on May 13, 2025.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungle. Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Hearing no objections, they are approved. Next item on our agenda is reports. The first will be the city manager. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Mr. Homka's written report is included in the packet. And Mr. Honk is also has joined us remotely, and we're here to answer any questions if you have any.
Questions from council regarding the report from the city manager as presented? Hearing none, thank you. Next is the April financials. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I'd like to introduce Mapke Kenyi. He is our new controller. So Mapke, if you could come down to the podium, please. He likes to go by Kenyi, so just call him Kenyi. And he's going to report on the April financials right now for you. Go ahead, Kenyi.
Good evening, council members. As he stated, my name is Mapke Kenyi, and as you know, I'm the new finance controller. And there's nothing much to report based on last quarters, only that the financials are doing good. In terms of sales tax, there is a gain of 21%, which is 91 compared to 70% for last month, last quarter. This is going towards the end of the financial year, which is the fourth quarter right now. And then in terms of investment, there's an increase of about 38% compared to last quarter, going towards end of the financial year. Revenues are about 265 through the fourth quarter, from the third quarter, and our investment earnings are leading the actual and exceeding projection by about the projections are exceeded by 303%, and then the revenues have gone up by 120% in this quarter. Expenditures right now are 74% compared to the financial year budget. So,
hey, thank you. Are there any questions or comments? The financial report. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Welcome.
Thank you, Kenyi.
Next, we've got community input and announcements. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council and make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, state your name.
Hi, Mayor and Council. Roger Blakely, Lord Director of PCR. Just want to give you a little report on the community cleanup. We have a week left. We've produced 573 bags of garbage so far. We're trying to hit 1,000. The good weather is helping us out. We've had a good community response. We want to thank everybody that's been has participated in the program. Next item is on Saturday, June 14th. We are having a music and open poetry mic night at the library. If you like poetry, like some slam poetry, open mic night will be featuring all those type of things. So come and enjoy the time, because it's actually really fun. Next item is we have a new little program going. It's called Petite Picasso's Art in the Park, ages 2 to 5. It starts on Monday, June 6th, and it'll go all the way until August. For more information, get a hold of the Parks and Rec for each park that they're at. But we want your the young kids out. We have good weather. Get them in the parks. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Roger. Anyone else have any comments or news of interest in the chambers? Hearing none, are there any on the phone or Zoom? City clerk?
No, sir. No one indicated they wanted to make a comment.
Okay, thank you. Next is a public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of the public provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda if they don't wish to wait until the item comes up on the regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with city clerk. Please come to the podium and use the microphone. State your name. Does anyone present wish to speak? No. City clerk, are there any written comments or anyone on Zoom or phone?
Not for this section, sir.
Okay, thank you. We're now on the regular agenda. The persons wish to speak on a regular agenda item must stand up with the city clerk. First one, ordinance item is ordinance 2025-04, creating a budget amendment number 3, the fiscal year of 2025 budget, appropriating $771,500 from the general fund for an increase of $175,000 to the finance department operating budget, increasing of $86,500 to the city manager's operating budget, decrease of $75,000 to the city administration operating budget, increase of $17,000 to the clerk's operating budget, increase $287,000 to the public works operating budget, increase of $213,000 to the PCR operating budget, increase of $50,000 to the public safety corrections operating budget, decrease public safety police operating budget by $100,000, increase of $68,000 to the general fund transfer enterprises, accepting $3,712,785.92 in crab disaster relief funds, appropriating solid waste unrestricted net assets of $25,000. Increase of $25,000 to the solid waste operating budget. Appropriate ports and harbors unrestricted net assets of $7,000. Increase of $7,000 to the ports and harbor operating budget. Increase of $3,712,795.92 to the Ports and Harbor Capital Budget Fund transfer from the General Fund. Increase of $3,712,795.92 to the Ports and Harbor Capital Project expenses. And accepting the State of Alaska Department of Family and Community Service grant of $60,000 to fund a portion of the cost related to the new fire station feasibility study in the amount of $60,000. May I have a motion and a second to introduce the ordinance 2025-04 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on June 10, 2025.
I move to introduce Ordinance 2025-04 and schedule it for second reading and public hearing on June 10, 2025.
Second.
Second by Councilman, first moved by Councilman Tungwell, second by Councilman Longo. I'll turn this over to the Acting City Manager to introduce 2025-04.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, I'd like to apologize for that incredibly long ordinance title. It's very detailed, yes. This is the third and final budget amendment for fiscal year 2025. The amendment will receive more than $3.7 million in federal crab disaster funding. This funding is arising from the 2019 Tanner crab disaster and the 21-22 and 22-23 red and snow crab disasters, and then appropriates that funding to the Stores Harbor A&B float project. The amendment also receives $60,000 from a state Department of Families and Community Services grant and appropriates that funding to the new fire station feasibility study. Finally, the amendment appropriates $771,500 from appropriated fund balances to various departments, which amount includes transfers within existing budgets. The largest amount in this final category will go into the finance department at $175,000 to cover the cost of contracted assistance for the interim finance director and audit preparation, as well as covering increased management fees to APCM, Alaska Permanent Capital Management. We're also moving $75,000 from the admin personnel budget to the city manager personnel budget to cover acting city manager salary, and $11,500 to cover increased costs in the city hall janitorial line. The remainder of this $771,000 is to reimburse the housing proprietary fund for $68,000 to cover the rent and expenses due to holding city housing units for recruitment purposes. And finally, personnel costs due to cost of living adjustments causing increased personnel expenditures above already budget amounts. Staff recommends adoption. It was almost as long as your title, Mayor.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Any comments or questions for the acting city manager? Councilman Coleman?
Yes, thank you. That's a bit of a, it's a bit to digest. In a short time to do that. And in fact, there's some things that don't quite pencil out for me. And so in lieu of taking up our public time here, I think I could probably reach out to Mr. Shark and try to get that resolved, if that's all right.
I could
call you directly.
Yeah.
If that's, there's just a matter of.
I think it would be best to start with me because he's actually out of pocket this week. But
okay, so we'll do that because there's just a matter of 68,000 that just didn't, because we're taking 771,000 out of general, the appropriated general fund.
And no, so, I don't think it is a full 771,000. It's from appropriated fund balances. Some of that's going to come, like the 68,000 is coming from the general fund into the housing proprietary fund. But we're moving 25,000 from the solid waste budgeted use of unrestricted net assets, and 7,000 in the Ports and Harbors Fund. And all, so there's amounts that are coming from existing budgets.
So, yeah, again, is a lot to digest in such a short time because there's this increase in general fund operating transfers out 68,000. So anyway, like I said, I kind of tried to pencil it out to see where everything was coming from and the transfers and stuff, but I seem to have been missing a key component here. So like I said, I just, since okay, this is the ordinance, I'll have a chance to re-examine that. Just kind of, I guess I just want to be clear on this accepting of the grant of $60,000. It seems like originally that the Fire EMS was looking to do a feasibility or a study on needs for a new building and training center, but now it seems like this grant, does this mean the grant is going to be, the scope is going to be larger if you accept the grant? And just to confirm, this is only for feasibility and not for, or just for the study itself?
I can confirm it's just for the feasibility study. And no, I don't believe the scope changed at all. We got this grant and it was up. We were allowed to use it for this purpose. So we just added it to that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further comments or questions on ordinance? None? Okay. All right. No further council discussion. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. We have Mr. Frank Kelty on Zoom.
Mayor Chudikoff, members of the council, do you hear me?
No, I hear you fine, Frank.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. For the record, my name is Frank Kelty, and I just wanted to. I really don't have. I have a comment. I would very much. I'm happy to see the crab disaster funds, the $3.7 million being transferred over to Ports and Harbors, so we can move forward with the Bobby Storrs dock. It's been 17 years or 18 years since the seafloat was done, and this is, these port projects sometimes take forever. I remember the Carl Moses was started in 1994 and didn't get completed till almost 10 or 15 years later. But it's great to see that hopefully this will put us over the top for get that construction going on A and B floats and get that upgraded. It's been a long time coming. And like I said, I think this is a good use of that crab disaster fund. And hopefully we'll have a few more million coming down the line here in another year or two. So thank you very much. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Galti, for your comment. Anyone else on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. That's the only person who signed up with me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll request a roll call vote on Ordinance 2025-04.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
The roll call vote of 5 yeses and 0 nays, the council has introduced Ordinance 2025-04 and scheduled it for public hearing and second reading on June 10th, 2025. The next item is Resolution 2025-33, authorizing the city manager to implement a new electric, water, wastewater, and solid waste fee schedule for FY26 through FY31. I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2025-33.
Move to adopt Resolution 2025-33.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Luby. Turn this over to the acting city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Resolution 33 authorizes increases in utility fees for electric, water, wastewater and solid waste for 5 years, beginning in the next fiscal year, commencing on July 1st. We propose that rate increases for electric are alternated yearly with those for water, wastewater, and solid waste. The recommended rate increases come after a rate study conducted by NewGen. Council received NewGen's detailed presentation at the last meeting, and their final report is included in your packet this evening. There's a staff memo from Mr. Hernandez reviewing the rate increases, and we provided that to you several days in advance of the packet so that you'd have more time to digest the information. City staff and our consultants have considered many alternatives regarding the needed rate increases to cover our revenue requirements. And we believe the options presented to council are the most equitable and logical options available to cover the operating and capital requirements for the utilities. Mr. Hernandez and our consultant, Scott Burnham of NewGen, who's attending this meeting remotely, are available to respond to council questions. And so I'll ask Mr. Hernandez to come and join us down at the podium, please. If the resolution is adopted, the new fee schedule will be rolled into the updated fee schedule ordinance for council's consideration, with the first reading scheduled on June 10th. And staff does recommend adoption.
Okay, thank you. This time I'll ask council for any questions or comments they may have on Resolution 2025-33. Councilman Coleman.
So, after the presentation that we had last meeting, I brought to light the concern I had about the increase, especially when it comes to water, fresh water for our industry. You're looking at 30%, spread over 5 years. That's a big hit. You can say There's some discussion about the wastewater aspects. You know, I understand the need to obviously, I mean, it's a utility, got to pay for, you know, pay for the use. But you also have to recognize, you know, you don't want to shoot the horse you're riding. So you say it was equitable. And it is just by the sheer fact that everybody's getting 10% increase every couple of years. So it's a big punch, and I'm sure that processors will have to, in a way, figure out reduce or save or do what they need. But it is concerning. And wastewater the same. I do recognize you guys have, or I do note you guys recognize that water use doesn't always go to waste stream. So, and since wastewater is unmetered, it's a correlation between water use. But I do know that that is taken into consideration, that water, depending on where it's going, is factored into this. I know that's been a topic of concern in the last studies. Power, I'm kind of interesting though on your comments on electrical use, and that industrial power use is I'm looking for it here on my, has increased significantly more than any other power rate use. And the argument is that they use more, so therefore it's a bigger strain on resources, but use is use. I guess it doesn't make sense to me who's using it. A kilowatt hour is a kilowatt hour. It shouldn't matter if it's where it's coming from. So if you could please explain to me the rationale for increasing industrial power over any other residential or commercial.
I'll let you take that, Mr. Hernandez.
So there are quite a bit of factors that are different between the residential customer and the industrial customers as far as charges and credits. So residents do have PCE, and sometimes industrial customers also take power at a higher voltage, which is a benefit to the utility. There's also additional charges that are specific to the industrial customer, like demand and power factor, that your residential customers do not get billed for. It's essentially just a flat rate for a kilowatt hour. We do have Mr. Scott Burnham on the line, and I think he might be able to break it down a little bit better than I can as far as each individual commodity.
Yeah, sure. This is Scott Burnham with NuGen. Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor, Council Members, appreciate the opportunity to be before you. Wish I was up there in person, but I'm going to have to do it on the phone. So in terms of your question, the fundamental principle that we follow is one of cost causation. And when we think about industrial customers, they do use a lot more power. Their demand on the system is responsible then for a larger portion of the fixed cost of the system. So the design of the system has to be such to meet all the loads, residential, commercial, industrial. It's that the industrial loads are so much larger that they therefore have a larger percentage cost responsibility. So when we think about cost allocation of those fixed costs for designing the system, which is the majority of the operating, or of the majority of the cost of the system, obviously the fuel is a big one, but that's just a pure pass-through. In terms of the design of the system, then those that use more power, the classes that use more power, have more cost causation and therefore have more cost responsibility.
So, but generally when you go to Costco and you buy in bulk, you mm-hmm. get a discount because they're buying more, they're using
sure.
more. So
yes.
I guess I would think you talk about the equalization was spread out equally among the customers, and yet you're saying mm-hmm. you're going to charge more for industrial customers because they use more.
So that you can think of the system as a fixed a fixed system, right? It has a fixed cost to it, and it's designed to meet the peak load of all the individual users together, right? And that's what drives the cost to build and design and maintain the system as an electrical grid, and for that matter, the design of the power generation as well. And so if you are a user that puts more demand and more use of the system, therefore you have more cost responsibility for the sizing of that system. And it's the sizing of that system that drives the cost.
Okay, I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions or comments for Resolution 2025-33? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I'll just make a couple comments here. One thing I noted on here, reading through some of this stuff, is it talks, the whole report and all the information provided talks about raising rates in order to cover, infrastructure, operating costs, and all that stuff. But nothing stands out as having staff or any other persons or entities taking a look at possible cost-cutting measures, if there is any, or where we could cut costs, or if there's there's no cost cutting in there. The other part that kind of concerns me, or doesn't necessarily concern me, but I would like to talk to staff here a little bit more as we move along with this, going to ordinance, is how the CMMP, how some of these projects affect what we're setting, how we're deciding our rates. Do we have a lot of these projects that are in there that are creating a larger budget going forward that would need a higher rate? Is that something that, if so, could council be looking at that down the road, going, hey, some of these don't necessarily need to come out of the proprietary fund. We could use more of the 1% sales tax fund, or more out of the general fund, so that we aren't burdening these utilities with debt for large infrastructure projects. So those were my comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions or comments?
May I comment? So for the CMMP, what you're seeing in the study is the 3 to 6 year plan. It should not change based on our recommendations to the consultant, because those are the values and the amount of investment we're expecting to make into those utilities for the next 5 years. So if we were to make a change to our CMMP, we would have to reevaluate what the rates are, especially if it would be a larger investment for the utility.
Yeah, just to follow up, I don't have it in front of me, but one of the projects that kind of jumps in my mind is a water project, the water storage tank. If that project, I think that's still on the CMMP. If not, I think there's other projects, there are large projects that are within that window, this 4 or 5 year window, and were some of those multi-million dollar projects factored in there and say, hey, we need to raise the rates so we can cover that project that may or may not happen. We, as a council, we usually, when we approve these budgets and the CMMP, we're only looking a year out, maybe 2 years out. The rest of the projects in there are, more or less placeholders. So how those projects that are in that window affect how we're figuring on the rates is what my concern is.
Yep, we definitely added that into our consideration. So any projects that were uncertain, we did not want to include in, give that burden to the customers. For the water utility specifically, we just included the reservoir dredging project and I think a cast iron line replacement because we know those are certain.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Any further questions or comments? None? Okay, thank you for the questions, Council. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Okay, thank you. I'll request a roll call vote at this time on Resolution 2025-33.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
With this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2025-33. Five yeses and zero no's. Next item is Resolution 2025-34, renewing the city's policy on participation in funding electric primary and secondary utility line extensions for a four-year period starting fiscal year 2026, ending fiscal year 2029. I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2025-34.
Move to adopt Resolution 2025-34.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to Acting City Manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Resolution 34 will continue the city's policy to participate in the cost of electric line extensions. And Resolution 35, which is next on the agenda, does the same for water and wastewater line extensions. Each resolution covers a four-year period. Council first adopted such policies in fiscal year 1991. These programs help cover the cost of utility extensions and thereby encourage development in the community. The cost of this participation in the last 4 years was under $7,000, and staff does recommend adoption of both resolutions.
Okay, thank you. Are there any council members who have a question or comment on Resolution 2025-34? Oh, Councilman Bell.
Yeah, as was just stated, you know, this program was initiated in 1991, correct? And I'm not sure if these numbers have been corrected or adjusted much in that time period. The one that I'm looking at here is primary residential primary and secondary line extension, where the maximum amount for reimbursement is $1,400. Obviously over 30 years plus, those costs have gone up. And I think it would be proper to adjust that, at the very minimum, bring it up to the small general primary, at $5,300. As we all know, you know, building in Alaska is expensive. And if we can, in some small way, promote, you know, more growth, more residential building and expansion, you know, I would support it. So I guess I'll listen to what other councilors think here.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Are there any further questions from council? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I'm not sure how these have been adjusted over the years as well, but $1,400 for, you know, residential and is not very much really, and prices just keep going up and up with the cost of stuff and the shipping and everything else. So I feel like the $1,400 is really low, and I would support a higher amount on that as well. I'm kind of confused why we have 75%, $75 per linear foot, and then we have a cap. We have all these, you know, restrictions on a lot of this stuff. So, and I guess overall, I'm kind of having a hard time reading through this and totally understanding it, and didn't really get a chance to come forward and talk to somebody with the long haul. You know, it's a holiday and a chance to actually really dive into this. So this ordinance, this is not something that's going to go to a second reading or anything to look at. And I would like to look it over a little more and postpone this until the next meeting if we could. And a lot of that is, you know, the 75%, the $75 per linear foot, and then caps on everything. It just isn't all making sense to me right now. And so, sorry about that. But if, you know, if we could get a little more time to kind of look it over and make sure that, you know, everything's in up where it should be for the times with the increases and everything. And so I would appreciate that.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. Any further questions, comments? Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when the last time this was changed, so we don't really have a history on this. And, you know, quite honestly, I'm not likely, I mean, you have to have some factual basis for changing numbers. I don't really, as opposed to, you know, I feel or arbitrary, as much as the sentiments are important, I would rather see something factual on how much it really does cost versus how much we think we should subsidize for. So I will support these numbers. This is what staff has brought forward, what they feel is fair and reasonable and prudent. And unless I see something to scientifically support a change based off of costs today, I will support this resolution.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions or comments from council? Councilman Luby, then Councilman Longo.
Yeah, so I agree we need, you know, some numbers, some facts to put to this as well. And, you know, that would be another good reason to postpone this until the next meeting where we could maybe come up with some of that stuff. So not just gut feeling, I agree. So I'll let Mr. Longo talk here, and then I'll make a motion maybe to postpone.
Yeah, I would also like to postpone this, get some more information on the definition that the city is using for primary and secondary utility lines, and also get some data as to current cost for doing the extensions.
Thank you, Councilman Longo. Any further discussion? Councilman Tongo?
So if we postpone this I don't think we can put any other numbers without any backup or any kind of study or something that we can check and compare. It's just gonna take a while if we're gonna do that. I think to do a study and change numbers on this. I haven't seen this change in a long time since I was sitting here. So I think I'll support what's recommended in here, and then maybe we'll direct city manager at the end to do a study. We can always go back and amend this if we have to, if there's a study that can be provided to make these changes make it easier for us to make put input numbers on it by the study. So For now, I'll be supporting this.
Thank you, Councilman Tuggle. Acting City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to let you know, I don't think there's would be any negative ramifications for postponing this. So that's an option, if that's the way you want to go. Another option suggested by Mr. Tungle is that you adopt these and you can change them later. Either way is fine. And I don't think we'd have to like commission a study. I think that staff could do some research to answer the questions that I've heard so far. I do know that Mr. Homka's on the line and he's asked to speak on this as well. So Mr. Homka.
Thank you. I think even today, as I was talking with Mr. Hernandez and Eric, it might be helpful if you shed some light on this. This isn't a grant. I think it's something that we ask people for a down payment on before they do the work and we reimburse. So unless I'm thinking, referring to something else, I don't want to raise the down payment and cost people more, but that in effect, it sounds like what we might be doing.
Thank you, Mr. Homka. Any further questions for the staff or Mr. Homka? Councilman Bell?
The way I've always understood this is that it's a reimbursement program. And, you know, when it, I will agree and I will support a motion to postpone so that we can get something that we can base this on facts instead of, you know, throwing out a number and saying, hey, yeah, that looks like a good number, you know. I just add some rough numbers as I was thinking of it, and I may be way off base here, but just, you know, using some oversimplified numbers, you know, even if you were to hook up wastewater, water, and electricity, and get a reimbursement up to the maximum amount, and even if it was at $5,300, you know, theoretically that could be a reimbursement up to $15,000. Wastewater, you know, sewer line is an expensive. You know, the person installing that bears most of the cost of doing that. Water and electricity can be expensive, depending upon the distance it needs to go and all that type of stuff. You know, I may be way off in numbers, but it makes simple math in here. Even if all those utilities, someone was paying $300 a month for 12 months, that's $3,600 over, say, 20 years is a lifetime, you know, of a house before it starts needing remodeling. Or as a reference, that's still $70,000+ in revenues that come into the city over that original $15,000 plus reimbursement. So, I think it's a good investment. You know, if it does promote more building or more residential housing in Onalaska, that's a good thing. As we can see, that program doesn't get used very often, seeing that it's only five building permits in the last 2-3 years, whatever the time period was there. So I don't know that we're necessarily talking a large sum of money. But yeah, this is not an emergency or anything like that. And it's something that we can put a little more thought in and postpone. It's more of a housekeeping item. So I would support a motion to postpone.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further questions or comments? This time, Councilman Louie.
So I'd like to make a motion to postpone resolution 2025-34 until the next city council meeting on June 10th.
Okay. Moved. Second.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Longo to postpone resolution 2025-34 till June 10th regular meeting. Discussion? Councilman Coleman.
Yeah, it's okay with postponing, I guess, because it would just be an administrative extension of the current policy, or if I'm not too sure when this is supposed to expire. If it does, it just, this is like every, what, 4 or 5 years. So it's, go ahead.
The current policy expires at the end of this fiscal year, June 30th, 2025.
Okay, so we would have to have this done by then, or we could, I mean, so I'm, because we got stuff on our plate pretty heavy coming up the end of the fiscal year. So I'm kind of concerned about loading it more with stuff that maybe we can just visit later.
Well, I would imagine even if you weren't ready to make a decision before the end of June, you could always make the new policy retroactive back to July 1st, whenever, if it's after July 1st that you adopt it.
Okay.
And, so, and like Councilmember Bell mentioned, we don't get 20 of these every day or every year. It's not a huge volume program. Okay. And we could always make it retroactive back to when this one expires.
Right. So it's just kind of, for me, timing with the council load that we have coming up for the end of the fiscal year, getting things wrapped up, and then just adding one more thing to it. So I'm looking for some reflection on if you feel like this can be revisited based off, you know, that what we obviously are looking for is some more in-depth, like, history of this, when have the rates changed, and when the last changed, and how does it compare to current, you know, costs. So it's, yeah, it's adding a burden to staff during a pretty busy time already.
I think it, why don't you shoot for the June 24 meeting? That would give us a little more room. Yeah. And if for some reason we're not ready to go by then, we can let you know. And do you want both resolutions to be postponed, 34 and 35? So you might amend your motion.
If the second agrees, you don't have to read. Just ask the second for change.
Well, the motion now belongs to the body because you've had a motion and a second, so you do need to amend your motion.
Okay, so I would like to amend my motion to include resolution 2025-35 as well, and postpone both of the resolutions until the June 24th meeting.
Second.
And move to amend the resolution, the motion, to include both resolution 2025-34 and 2025-35. That's the next one. Okay, till June 10th.
No, 24th. June 24th.
June 24th, end of month. Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Does the city manager, assistant city manager, want to affect us in the timing?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that, sir.
I was asking, you did mention that would not hold up any projects, or?
I don't think there's negative ramifications for postponing this.
Okay, thanks. All right, hearing no further discussion, I'll call for vote on the amendment.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
The motion to amend has been approved. Now the main motion as it was amended.
No, it's gone. So it's gone, sir.
They're both gone.
It was actually a motion to postpone, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, motion to postpone has been approved on 5 yes, 0 nays. Till June 24th.
Yeah, 24 and
20, and 35.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're on resolution 2025-36, certifying the 2025 real and personal property tax rolls. I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2025-36.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2025-36.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Dungal and seconded by Councilman Longo. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I'm going to turn it over to our city clerk, S. Carlin Magdalen.
Thank you, Ms. Peter. So council's certification of tax roll is one step in the property tax cycle each year and is required by our code of ordinances. Certification of tax roll is done following the appeal period and the Board of Equalization hearing. The total taxable real and personal property this year is $850,061,054, which is a decrease of 0.68 over last year's taxable value. At the mill rate of 10.5, and if 100% collected, the city can expect to receive property tax revenue of $8,925,641 for fiscal year 2026. The staff memo contains additional information, and I'm happy to respond to any council questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the council on the 2025-36 resolution? Hearing no discussion from council. City clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Hearing no comments from public, requesting roll call vote.
Okay, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Result of the vote is 5 yes, 0 nays. With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2025-36. Next item, F, resolution 2025-37, authorizing the mayor to sign the employment agreement between the City of Unalaska and William M. Humpka to serve as city manager for the City of Unalaska. I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2025-37.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2025-37.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Longo, second by Councilman Tungle. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager for introductions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Following an executive session on April 8th, council authorized the mayor to negotiate a contract with William Honka, to serve as city manager. Resolution 37 and the attached employment agreement are the result of those negotiations. The city attorney has reviewed it, and Mr. Honka has signed, indicating his acceptance. I have been informed, though, that there is an error in the amount of the annual salary on page 133 of the packet, page 2 of the agreement. I understand it's supposed to be $220,000 annually for a base salary, not $225,000. And we can make that correction before the mayor signs it and have Mr. Humpka re-sign it. It's not actually, that number isn't in the resolution, so it's up to your comfort level whether you would prefer to make some sort of formal motion to change that amount, or just acknowledge that we'll get that corrected before the signatures are done. And Mr. Humpka is on the phone too, if you want to ask him any questions.
Okay, thank you. at our last meeting with the council, we agreed on the amount of 220, and I took that number to Bill Humpka the next morning, I believe. First item on my, before I left to sign any other documents. And we had a discussion on the, as you all remember, the painted part of the contract at a couple of places. And we agreed there was no negative comments regarding those, and he signed the contract to and agreed to the 220. He said it sounded fair, and he agreed to sign it. And what I left him with was to have that number changed. Apparently, I left the next day, the afternoon, on a trip, and I did not get it before I left. So that's where we are. And I believe City Manager Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Mayor, that's just the function of a typo. I agreed to 220 when you came in my office. I think it's just a matter of three or four people have been trying to handle this contract for the council and myself. So I take responsibility for the error. It was not a quick slip of $5,000 for myself. It's just a matter of a typo in a rather inconvenient, embarrassing place. So I apologize for that.
Sorry, I wasn't here to follow up on that because
that's
I was
all right.
I think till the next day before I got settled in. Well, thanks for a comment, Bill. Council, have any questions? Councilman Bell?
Trying to give himself a little extra there.
Yeah. Yeah. God, it's embarrassing.
I just want to say, you know, stability in an organization is a good thing, and I look forward to working with Mr. Humpka over the next few years and see where we can go with the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Further comment? With that correction in the contract, I'll be willing to sign it myself also. I'll do that tomorrow morning or even tonight if we have it available. I'll call. Let's see. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to write pump comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tongo?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5 yeas and 0 nays, at this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2025-37. Let's see, next item is item 12. Council directives to the city manager. From my count, we have two, so I'll ask Councilman Bell to read the first.
Yeah, Mayor. I'm going to move to direct the city manager to seek proposals from one or more qualified firms to evaluate and present recommendations to the city council regarding sustainable, high-quality healthcare options for Unalaska. If I can get a second, I'll explain a little further.
Okay. Second. Moved by Councilman Bell and seconded by Councilman Tungo. Discussion.
Given the recent funding requests from IFHS and their expansion plans and APIA's request for city-owned land on which to build and construct a new clinic, it's obvious that there's, you know, healthcare is become an issue in this community. And there's multiple organizations here, it appears, that are, you know, trying to move forward with some form of healthcare. How that affects the city is over the years, we have subsidized or funded or granted IFHS monies, and it does have an effect on our budget. It's, you know, we are looking at a percentage increase, and I think it's 6% or so increase over last year's budget. And part of that is because of $800,000 that went out as a grant. As a council, I think it's important that we make informed decisions and moving forward, understanding what the playing field looks like out there as far as healthcare and what can or can't be done in this community, I think definitely gives us more information to make an informed decision. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Any further comments? Councilman Luby.
So you're looking for a study that the city is going to pay for to accomplish what again? I'm sorry if you could. I'm a little bit confused on what you want to accomplish here.
This came from the staff, right?
Yes, partially, and conversations that I've had with city manager and others. The idea here is to get some kind of information that comes from a third party that's not involved on either side so that we can get impartial evaluation of healthcare opportunities in and on Alaska.
Councilman Coleman.
Yeah, I mean, the grants program is open to all entities that meet the needs and requirement. I don't really feel like it's council's, and we award the grants based off their merit and the conditions of their application. I don't really feel like it's our avenue to be going out and looking in to see how organizations should be run, and depending on how much money they're requesting during the grant process. So I think it's the council's purview. If you don't feel like they should be rewarding the grant, then don't reward the grant. I don't want to be getting into the lane of determining nonprofits and how they're run and who we should have and who we shouldn't. So, although I have no problem with looking into, what's the accomplishment here? Is then, we put money into a study and then tell a nonprofit how to run. So I guess I don't really feel like right now is our place to be stepping into that venue.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further comments? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, the meat of this directive is formally asking council to find a study or spend money for a study. We're not necessarily saying how any one organization should run their operation. We don't have the expertise and the experience to know how healthcare systems are really run. And so having more information, especially when it's going to cost us, so far it's costing us approximately $1 million a year in taxpayer funds, is having the most amount of information that we can have when we're making the decision to spend those funds. I think more information is better. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I guess this study is to see if there's other healthcare clinics that can provide healthcare in Unalaska, Or is this study to see if IHFS is running you know, the clinic properly, financially responsibly, or I guess that's I'm a little confused. And what's in, okay, so say if we are looking at a study to see who else is out there that could provide healthcare for Unalaskan, does, I guess that could tell us if we don't, you know, if we don't want to fund the clinic, but we'll fund another one, but where is that one going to go? I mean, there's a lot to that. And right now I think it's a little premature. I know it takes a little while for a study, and the grant process has come up very quickly. I'm just a little bit, I don't feel, well, okay, I'm using that word feel again. I shouldn't do that. I agree it's a lot of money that the city is using. I also think that there's some things in the works, and the clinic is trying to become financially sustainable. Yes, we don't have the expertise as a council for that. And would this study, I mean, are we going to do a study on all the other nonprofits as well? I know that it's not as much money, but again, it's a grant program that we as council, it's our grant program, and we can decide to fund if we want to or not fund. I just don't know that funding a study right now is really the way to go. And because I'm not really sure what that study will tell us and what we can do with it. I guess that's what I'm more so. Is it just, we're just going to put money out there to do a study, and where are we going to go with that study? That, I guess, would be my question. Where would we go with the results of the study?
But Councilman,
I mean, I can give you my personal view, and my personal view of healthcare is very narrow. I don't have the expertise. I've never been involved with the healthcare administration. I'm not a doctor or caregiver. So I don't know what the possibility is of different models that would work within Unalaska and provide the healthcare that we need. And the biggest thing is the city is funding or supporting the clinic. Maybe we're going down the right path by supporting the clinic as we are, or maybe there's other possibilities or other avenues that would, those monies would be better spent. Without having that broader perspective and having more knowledge of what other healthcare models look like, we're just kind of guessing within the small window that we have to look through at the healthcare that's in Unalaska now. And the idea behind the study is to give us a broader view. Thank you.
And thank you, Councilman Bell. I'd like to remind the council that we met with the clinic and just a couple of 3 weeks ago. And out of it came what we were trying to move towards, is understanding what is needed and what can the funds, other funds available to help build a clinic or help build a clinic, utilizing public funds or other grant opportunities. We sought for and it seemed to me that it came out that, yeah, we need to have another discussion with the clinic, find out, get more information. And out of that came this directive, I believe, which I think needs to be done on behalf of the community to understand why we're putting over $1 million into every year into the clinic. We understand the building process, but at what point does the clinic become sustainable? with the help of the city, we could find out that information with a study about what's out there other than the city's money. That's where I would like to go. It's not that we're going to go in there and take over management of the anything or direct them how to run a clinic. I don't believe any of us up here are doctors or specialists of any kind in healthcare, but we understand we need it. We need it to have a more sustainable clinic that's going to provide better services that we require and need. We just need to have some guidance, and a third party can also help the clinic. We're not doing it just for ourselves. That's the way I understand it. So I think that I don't know what the cost would be for that kind of a study. Maybe that's probably the first thing we'd find out, or direct staff to find out what is that cost for a survey. At least look into it and then move forward. City manager?
Mr. Homka is on the line and has raised his hand if you'd like to hear from him.
Yes, Bill, can you shed some light on this directive and why we're heading this direction?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. And can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. This is a subject that I think is one I'm glad there's some discussion about. It's not a need to go and evaluate a particular nonprofit. What we are getting, as you know, is we have interest in trying to serve our community of what ranges from 4,100 permanent residents up to maybe an additional 10 to 12,000 processor workers. And unfortunately, what we see right now is we're being presented with the requests for additional funding, not the processors, not other entities. We're not trying to run a clinic, but we also don't have an awful lot to go on other than, as you saw with the last round of community support grant applications, you know, if we don't fund the clinic, then we're reducing the health options for the community. And I feel that's true. But even after having been on that organization for 7 years, I certainly can't shed a whole lot of light for all of you on, you know, how to run a clinic, just being a board person. You're not going to get that. And there's really a lot of pressure on an organization like our own, City Council, to meet the funding needs for an organization that you really don't know anything about. And it's not something, if we're going to continue to fund or grow in funds, what are our options? And the problem here is our funding cycles. I mean, we're just now getting finished with our budgeting. Our community grant program, we seek applications in December. They come in at the end of February, and you're right here again at budgeting. So this is kind of where I was going last year. When I said things are changing, I want to know how you guys want to approach this. Or we just want to grant funding on a line item, as one of the people who've attended council meetings said, just give us a line item. So before we awarded the school its money and the community support program its money, we had $30 million in projected expenses for FY26. We had $39 million in projected revenue. And when those two support, when the support program and the school came in, we were $1 million over what we were anticipating in revenue. So now you see that's like 10, 25% of our budgeting process suddenly. And I just like to point out that the swing that has on us, we have people like my staff person from, we have Cameron Dean, planning director, who goes over with the school. And I think Councilman Luby did it again this last year, correct me if I'm wrong, to be a part of their budgeting process, right? At what point does someone's budget become some of city's business so that we're anticipating what's coming with more than a 2 or 3 month notice? That's really not fair. And I'm speaking to fair in terms of my staff. that I'm putting them through budgeting, showing us every expense, what are they doing? And then I have two line items in our budget that can swing our budget that much. And we're statutorily obligated to fund schools because we collected all of money for the schools. So it's a little different. But I think, if you recall, I didn't give, with your support, did not give the staff a limit on what to budget for this year. Normally we say 3%, 4%, and I feel that that limitation has cumulatively put us in a bind. So our budget, last I looked at the numbers, came in 6% over. But when you add in the school and the community support program, it's over 11% over last year. So it's coming from a budgeting standpoint, and the fact that when something goes wrong, if APIA goes away or the clinic goes away, who do people come to? They come to the city to fix it. So I am not of the position to fix it. I'm just the city manager, but I know where the blame comes when, say, we don't want to fund something to the fullest extent. As Councilman Coleman pointed out, we're not trying to run what's going on over there, but we need to know better about what our options are. We have two health organizations trying to build hospitals in our community of 4,100 people. APIA wants land from the city. We've given land and now persistent funding to IFHS. And neither of those are equitable, if you want to be frank about it. So I think we need to just actually have someone who's not from here, who doesn't have a connection to any of the organizations, who can actually answer our questions and have all of them involved. I'm not saying we won't get anywhere with just ourselves in the room. So I would hope that, however we word this, that our health organizations will understand that the pressures, and these are pressures, these are pressures that the city and city council are facing. And you know you felt it. I mean, someone said, if we don't fund us, people will die. That's not an answer to be giving in public to an elected body in order to determine whether you get funding or not. We need something empirical. And that's what this is about. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Homka. Any further questions or comments on the directive?
Yes.
Question or question? Councilman Luby.
More of a comment. I guess if the rest of this council feels like that a study would help them determine whether they want to fund a particular nonprofit or not in the future, then I would support doing a study. If that's not the goal, then I can't really support. I mean, it seems to me it'd be a waste of money unless there is what's the purpose, what's the outcome? And if the outcome is to determine whether we want to, support a particular nonprofit, then I guess then I could support a study for that.
This directive is primarily directive to get a study to where we can find out exactly what Mr. Homka said. Where are we? And what can we do with the clinic to make it better? That's what our goal is. Not out there to go after nonprofits. If you have a reason or don't have a reason, then nonprofits are critical to development of this community. And I say we don't go down that road. Any further comments, questions? Yeah, I'll ask for a roll call vote on the motion and directive. I don't have it in front of me, so I can't read it.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Hmm? You're going to read the directive?
I've got one here, but I handed it to Mr. Bell and he wrote all over it. Right here?
Yes.
Okay. I move to direct the city manager to seek proposals for one or more qualified firms to evaluate and present recommendations to a city council regarding sustainable, high-quality health care options for the community of Unalaska Dutch Harbor. Do I have any further comment? Hearing none, I'll call for a roll call on the directive one.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Tongo?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Longo?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
No.
With the roll call vote of four yeses and one no, the directive passes. And I believe there's one more, and that's that was the one regarding the it's a different study. Hold on a minute. Need to get more info versus the $1,400 fee. Somebody wanted to. What you were talking about, you didn't want. But it turned into a postponement in the end, right? Council, yeah, go ahead. City manager?
Okay, everybody's looking at me. I don't think a directive is necessary. I think it's pretty clear that we need to bring you back some more information and some history and some numbers.
Yeah, it started out as a directive and swung around the big circle. We postponed to shorten our meeting. That's about it. Well, thank you. It's been postponed. We'll get that cleared up at the June 24th meeting. All right, I just want to make it clear, I didn't want it hanging out there. Next item is our community input and announcements. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Are there any further announcements? And chambers on the phone or Zoom?
No, sir, no further announcements from Zoom.
Okay, thank you. This time I need a motion to go into executive session. Councilman Tongo.
I make a motion to move into executive session to discuss status of the IUOE Local 302 contract negotiation, which, if discussed in public, might negatively impact the interests of the city. Present in the executive session will be the mayor, city council, members physically present, city manager William Amka, or acting manager, city manager Margie Beater.
Here are matches for Margie.
And our city attorney, Mr. John Factor.
Okay. City attorney John Factor. Oh my God.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to go into executive session by Councilman Tongo and seconded by Councilman Longo. No roll call.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Longo.
Here.
Ms. Coleman.
Yes.
Mr. Bell.
Here.
Mr. Tongo.
Yes.
Ms. Luby.
Yes.
On the roll call vote, we're going to executive session has passed. The vote, we're 7:35 p.m. for an executive session.